This is The Guardian.
Today, the middle class status symbol that's endangering our lives.
There's no question that wood-burning stoves create a nice, warm feeling in more than one sense. They glow, they emanate heat in a very tangible way, and you get a sort of sense of deep comfort and connection by sitting beside one and feeling that heat radiating onto you. You feel like you're doing something that people have done for hundreds of years.
George Monbiot writes about the environment for a living. He cares deeply about it. And when it came to refitting his own home, he tried to make careful choices that would have as little impact on the planet as possible.
I was living in a pretty drafty house, which was quite sort of disaggregated. It was hard to heat it from a single source. I was really trying to get it right, and I put a lot of work into getting it insulated, draft-proofed, changing the windows, but I still needed a heat source, of course, and I wanted to get off fossil fuels. And so it seemed like the obvious choice to go for wood-burning stoves.
It was a choice that many others have made in good faith. And wood-burning fires have certainly been sold to us. In home improvement magazines and TV shows, they're there, a status symbol at the heart of the so-called ideal middle-class living room.
It was an expensive decision. In fact, I had to take out a loan in order to afford it. I think including the rebuilding of one of the chimneys that I had to do, the fitting of the flues and the purchase of the stoves, it must have been around £30,000. And then I bought my first load of seasoned wood to go in them. And that was the moment when I began to have my first qualms. Well, since then, I've discovered that wood-burning stoves are among the greatest sources of the most dangerous kind of pollution, which is small particulates.
The more George read into the evidence, the more concerned he became. He found out that wood-burning stoves are among the greatest sources of the most dangerous kind of pollution. Scientists have shown that small particulates given off in wood smoke are increasing our risk of developing serious health problems, including heart and lung disease and dementia. Dirty air is causing tens of thousands of deaths in this country every year, and the problem is getting worse. From The Guardian, I'm Hannah Moore. Today in Focus, the not-so-cosy truth about wood-burning stoves. George, you're a Guardian columnist and you're known for your environmental activism. It was back in 2008 that you decided to fit your house with not one, but three wood-burning stoves. How much research had you done into wood burners before you went ahead and bought them?
The answer is not enough. So part of what I did was right, which was a massive insulation of the home, putting in a lot of insulation in the roof cavity, putting in insulation on the walls, and then changing the windows, upgrading them significantly, getting proper draft proofing around the doors. I mean, it was still a pretty rackety house. It was badly built. You know, I'd looked a lot into home heating. I went along with a broad consensus that it was better to burn wood than to burn fossil fuels. Now, what I wasn't aware of, and in fact very few people were aware of, was the pollution associated with it. I was aware that there weren't any perfect options. Home heating is one of the most difficult things to change. And realistically, heat pumps in 2008, they weren't a viable, affordable option for me. And so I just thought, well, wood seems to be the obvious answer. And the obvious mistake I made was to associate pollution with fossil fuel burning. And we know that pollution and fossil fuel burning are very strongly associated. But then to assume that anything which wasn't fossil fuel burning wasn't a major source of pollution. And we now know that while fossil fuels are definitely a or the major contributor of many sources of pollution, they're by no means the only ones.
It is a quandary for people. And as you say, especially in this country where we have this huge stock of drafty Victorian housing, to know what the best solution is to heat our homes.
And the trouble is, loads of our houses are very badly built. In fact, they're still being badly built. And instead of getting them right first time, if the UK is going to meet its obligations under the Climate Change Act, it's going to have to refurbish a whole load of homes which are being built today. It's just madness. It's far more expensive and disruptive to refit a house that already exists than to get that house right while you're building it.
Damien Carrington, you're the environment editor of The Guardian, and you've been studying the evidence that's shown how harmful wood burners are to our health. Tell me about the headline figures.
They're pretty startling, I think. So just last week, the government in the UK published its latest annual air pollutant figures. And it turns out that toxic air pollution from wood burning in UK homes has more than doubled in just the last 10 years. And perhaps even more strikingly, wood burning, which is a minority pursuit, not that many people do it. But despite that, the air pollution particles which come from it, more than all of the particles from road transport, more than all of the particles from industry, and more than all the particles from burning wood and other biomass in some power stations to produce electricity. So, this kind of relatively what feels like a small scale activity is actually producing a pretty enormous amount of air pollution.
What exactly does burning wood release into the atmosphere then?
Well, the short answer is lots of nasties, particularly of note are these is what they call particulate matter, so small particles of pollution, but they also produce carcinogenic chemicals, carbon monoxide, all sorts of things. Just a couple of years ago, some scientists worked out that wood-burning stoves in urban areas are responsible for about half of people's exposure to cancer-causing chemicals, which is more than, again, that coming from traffic. But the thing that gets the most attention are what are called PM2.5, so that's particulate matter under 2.5 microns in size, which is very small, and that's been monitored for a long time and also studied for a long time, and that has really bad impacts on health.
And why particularly does PM2.5 affect our health?
It's the small size which is the critical part of it. Because it's so small, it can get through your lungs and into the bloodstream, and there it can travel around the body, and it can cause harm directly, depending on what it's made of, whether the chemicals itself that it's made from are problematic for the body, or it can just cause inflammation by being there, and that can be a problem as well. Wood smoke produces lots of different things, but PM2.5 has been well studied for a long time, and it causes all sorts of problems. I mean, we've known for a long time it damages hearts and lungs, but it's been linked to more and more things, from dementia, diabetes, obesity, depression, all sorts of things. So air pollution is something people are sort of aware of, but don't quite realise that the scale of it, and part of that is because it has a kind of an impact on everybody. So in terms of the individual risk increase for, heart disease, say, it may not be as big as, smoking cigarettes or eating badly, but it affects everybody across a whole city. That's the point.
And if you think about the way cars are made, there are mechanisms put in place to try and limit how much of those particles can be released into the atmosphere. But how does it work with wood-burning stoves?
Yeah, it's a good question. So actually, you know, despite perhaps what people might think, the regulation on cars over the last 20 or 30 years has been pretty good at reducing the pollution that comes out of the exhaust pipes. With burning stoves, that's not been the case. So from the start of last year, 2022, the UK government said that anyone burning wood in their homes had to use a so-called eco wood burner. The problem is that really they've just gone from being extremely polluting to very polluting. And so, for example, the so-called eco-approved wood-burning stoves still produce 450 times more pollution than the gas heating, which most people have.
Wow. Where in the country or which types of neighbourhoods are particularly being affected by the pollutants from wood-burning stoves then?
Yeah, so the problem is in urban areas, and that's because that's, of course, where most people live and that's where most of the wood burners are, and also that's where the population is concentrated, so the exposure is higher. You know, if you're in a farmhouse burning wood, you're not really going to affect any neighbours because you don't have very many. There can be problems with indoor air pollution, but that's a different debate. I think one of the important things to emphasise about, you know, wood burning in the UK at least is that it's really is a minority pastime. So a survey that was done not that long ago found out that it was only about 8% of people in the UK burn fuel indoors, solid fuel indoors. Most of those live in urban areas. And really importantly, well over 90% of them had other forms of heating. You know, those who really have to are not the problem. It's those who are doing it essentially for aesthetic reasons, which is what, you know, most wood burners are used for. That survey also found that half of the people burning wood indoors were from the top two social classes.
So you're saying these are not a necessity, and there is a good body of evidence showing the harms of these wood burners. So what are the government doing to try and control their usage?
Not nearly enough, in my opinion. So I mentioned that from the start of last year, they did put in regulations which meant that new stoves or new wood burners had to meet this so-called eco design, but they're still vastly more polluting than gas heating. They also did something to address the type of wood that you burn. So wet wood or wood that hasn't been dried out properly is, you know, quite a lot more polluting than dry wood. And that's been a regulation in place since May last year, I think. But again, the problem is you're going from something that's extremely polluting to very polluting. The problem is not going to be solved by different stoves or drier wood in cities. I think, you know, given that you're exposing large numbers of people to very high levels of pollution, you know, the issue is probably going to be stop using them.
Are scientists saying we just need to stop using them altogether?
Yeah, absolutely. If you talk to air pollution scientists, people whose job it is to study these things and worry about the impact it's having on public health, absolutely.
In London, Sadiq Khan, the mayor, has passed new planning guidance, which in effect will prevent people from using wood burners in new and refurbished homes. What do you think of that? And do you think it goes far enough, in your opinion?
So I think it's a good first step. So, I mean, the thing to bear in mind is that it is quite a politically difficult area because, you know, people do like wood fires. You know, they look nice, they feel nice. People might even think they smell nice if they're not thinking about the pollution that's going up their nose. And so I think politicians of all types have found it difficult to, you know, move quickly and talk about banning these things. Never a popular option for a politician. So Sadiq Khan in London, who has actually been really strong on air pollution in the face of quite a lot of opposition, has started the process, I think how I'd describe it. So for large new developments and for refurbishments which are significant enough to require planning permission, he's put in place air pollution standards, which effectively mean that you couldn't have a solid fuel burner, a wood stove or something in there. But in my opinion, I think it does need to go further than that, and I suspect it will do, but I suspect that politicians will need to take it gradually over time.
George, You've realised the damage that wood burners can cause to the environment now. You've been on quite a journey since you installed those burners in 2008. And you've written an article actually saying that you feel ashamed of it. Why did you decide to do that mea culpa?
I think we just have to be honest about our mistakes, otherwise we can't move on. And, you know, my position is of someone who's always drawing attention to the government's mistakes or corporate mistakes, basically to other people's mistakes. But it would be inconsistent if I wasn't also able to admit my own mistakes. And yeah, I do feel ashamed of it. I feel embarrassed by it, and particularly by not thinking it through enough and by not seeing the whole picture.
What kinds of responses have you had to that article?
It's been quite a big response. Some people are saying, well done for acknowledging this. I'm glad it's getting the recognition it needs. I live next to someone who's burning wood all the time and it's absolutely horrible. I'm getting all sorts of health issues as a result of other people's wood burning. Quite a few other people have got really angry about it and are saying, I installed my wood burner in good faith. It doesn't really cause any pollution. You're making it up. It's not true. All the usual stuff, really.
Because this could seem like a very microscopic issue or almost comedic when people see that headline, you know, my wood burner shame. And I know certainly in the right-wing press, there have been quite a few articles in recent weeks in defence of wood burners, haven't there?
Yeah, I mean, of course, people try to defend their own decisions, their own choices. It's a very common human tendency. Whatever I do is right and whatever I believe is correct. But we can't move on. We can't grow if we just constantly engage in justifications rather than exploration of our own decisions. Even though it's a very small minority of the population doing this, it has a very big impact on other people, perhaps on many millions of people. And so we can't sort of shunt it off into a box and saying that's too small to worry about. Actually, it's a really, really huge issue.
George, this isn't just a story about air pollution in fancy areas of cities. These burners are really contributing to the climate crisis more broadly, aren't they?
So there's a whole series of other issues which aren't being fully explored. One is the impact of black carbon, which can have quite serious climatic effects. Another is the impact on trees. Now, you know, yes, sure, trees do grow back and they do reabsorb carbon from the atmosphere and they can compensate for the carbon that you release when you're burning wood. But the thing is, we have to act now. If you're releasing carbon today by burning wood, but only years down the line is that carbon reabsorbed by the growing of new wood, then actually you are making a very significant contribution to climate breakdown.
It's a real bind for people knowing how to keep their houses warm at the moment, isn't it? I mean, not only because of the cost of living crisis. What's the government doing to incentivize and enable people to keep their homes warm in more environmentally friendly ways?
Well, it shouldn't be left to people to have to make these difficult decisions without any help. In Italy, there's a scheme which pays people 110% of all the environmental improvements to their homes. So if you fit an air source heat pump or a ground source heat pump or insulation or triple glazing or all the other things required to make your home more environmentally friendly, you get compensated in full and slightly more for your time and trouble to do that.
They give you about 50,000 for the insulation.
50,000 euros for insulation?
Yeah. For the windows and the doors, you get another, I think, 45,000.
So it's almost 100,000
euros. Yeah, it's almost 100,000 to do this kind of job, yeah.
But here, we're just left to our own devices. You know, if we want to do something which is, you know, not just for our benefit, but very much for the benefit of other people as well. Well, we have to carry the full cost of that. There might be one or two tiny grants around, but they're so small that they don't really make much of a difference to people's decision making. And a lot of people still wouldn't be able to afford the changes they might want to make. So yet again, it's being left to this magical abstraction called the market, rather than being driven by government policy.
We all have individual responsibilities in the choices that we make about how we heat our homes, as we do with every decision we make with regards to the environment in our own lives. But, you know, it's striking that the major oil and energy companies have posted record results.
The energy company BP has reported the second highest profit in its history. It comes on the back of soaring energy prices, which have left consumers facing big increases to their household bills.
These are big numbers. And don't forget, these come on the back of last week. We heard from Royal Dutch Shell and they had massive profits too.
You know, in the light of that, is it almost a distraction to be focusing on the wood burners in our own homes?
Well, these enormous profits undoubtedly are a sign of policy failure. You know, that we shouldn't even be having these fossil fuel companies anymore. We should have closed them down or forced them to turn into renewable companies, which they patently haven't, despite all their greenwash. And these are massive failures of government policy in the face of an unprecedented potential catastrophe, the collapse of Earth systems. So nothing I'm saying should be a distraction from that political battle to put fossil fuel companies back in their box and leave fossil fuels in the ground, which is absolutely central to our survival. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't also try to get things right in our own homes and in our own lives. And of course, it's made as difficult as possible for us as a result of the lack of government support and the lack of effective regulation and enforcement. But, you know, that still doesn't let us off the hook. It doesn't mean that we can excuse ourselves from moral responsibility for the care we owe towards other people and the rest of life on Earth.
Coming up, George searches for a more eco-friendly alternative to heat his home. George, I know you've moved house since you're in the place that had the wood burners, and you've learned what's turned out to be an expensive lesson. What kind of heating do you have now?
Well, I'm very lucky to be living in a passive house or something very close to a passive house. And that means it needs absolutely minimal heating because it's so well built. That means loads of insulation, a proper heat exchange ventilation system, very well-made windows to an extremely high thermal standard, no thermal bridging so that you don't get heat being transferred through the walls or the windows or the doors outside. And so what we've got here, it's a rented house, by the way, is one very small electric wall heater and two heated towel rails. And we scarcely have to use them at all because it's basically our body heat that warms up the house. That is our principal heating source, is our body heat, because it's just so well insulated and it holds on to that heat. And we also get quite a lot of passive heat coming through the windows from the sun. And as most of the electricity comes from solar panels on the roof, we're hardly requiring any outside source of heat at all.
That sounds absolutely wonderful. I mean, when you think about how many rental houses in particular are just so drafty and cold and wet and mouldy, you know, to have a landlord who is actually thinking about that stuff is, I mean, it should be the standard, but it's of course not.
Yeah. Well, it should be standard. You know, we are extremely lucky and we had to wait a long time for this to come up. You know, we're really, really fortunate to be able to move into it. But it should be what everybody has. And in fact, you can, I mean, it is more expensive and more difficult, but you can retrofit houses to something close to passive house standard. None of us should be left with these massive heating bills, which so many people are struggling to pay. And at the same time, none of us should be being forced effectively to contribute to climate breakdown by having to burn so much fuel, whether it's wood or fossil fuels, in order to keep warm. But it's because our houses are built so badly that we are forced into these bad decisions.
George, thank you so much.
Thanks, Hannah. That's my pleasure. Thank you.
That was George Monbiot, and before him, Damien Carrington. Keep up with their work at theguardian.com. Today's episode was produced by Lucy Hoff and sound designed by Solomon King. The executive producers are Phil Maynard and Huma Khalili. We'll be back tomorrow.
This is The Guardian.